All right, we're beginning here with the Mishnah on the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph. Mazgulo et akos. They poured him a cup of wine. Vamar hareini nazir mimenu. He says that I am restricted from it. Harizeh nazir. Then this individual is a nazir. Interestingly enough, the Rosh over here says, Vafilu l'Rabbi Shimon. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, damar ashi azir mikulan, that he says you have to enumerate all of the items of Nazirut in order to become a Nazir. Over here, Hocha Moda, Kevin Delo Hiskir Beheja Yayin, Delo Gara Miyadot de Nazirut. It's a Yad of Nazir, and therefore it engages you in the Nazirut because you didn't specify one of the items. We saw that before with regards to Rabbi Shimon, that he agrees if you just say Harini Nazir, then that's sufficient grounds to make you into a Nazir. It's only once you start detailing the items, then you have to detail everything. So over here, he says that the fact that he says I read in Nazir Mimenu and didn't explicitly mention Yayin, that's sufficient grounds, even according to Rabbi Shimon, to make you into a Nazir. Obviously, there are those that disagree with the Rosh and say even Rabbi Shimon over here would still say it's problematic because you're identifying the item. The Yayin Mimenu is the Yayin, and that already demands of you to be Mefereit all of the items. Masebi Ishachat Shaita Shikora. There's this woman who was drunk, obviously not so drunk where she doesn't have the capacity to make decisions or say things, who mazgulah et akos, and then they pour her another drink. V'amra hareini nazira mimeno. Said that enough, I'm not going to drink anymore, and they are pressing her to drink. She says, I'm a nazir from it. Amru chachamim lo nitkavna zo el lomar hareyu olai korban. She didn't intend to become a nazira in this case. She is trying to prevent them or stop them from plying her with more alcohol. And therefore what she meant to say is, I want this to be asur to me, kukorban. She's taking a neder that's restricting her in hana'ah. And therefore we deem her statement to be an isur hana'ah or a neder hana'ah rather than an nazirut. And truthfully, in this case, it would make sense that we were interpreting for her because she said something, but she was somewhat inebriated at the time, and therefore she doesn't know exactly what she was saying or how she said it. Therefore, we have to interpret, based on the context, what she meant. And contextually, it makes sense to say that she wasn't intending to become a nazira. She was just trying to stop them from giving her or forcing her to drink more alcohol. We should just know that the girsa that we have in our Mishnah is shikora. On the other hand, the girsa that the Rambam seem to have, Rav Kapach suggests that the gears that he has, based on what we see in Mishnah Torah, is that shikula. Shaita shikula, that she was a woman who had lost children, and she was be'avelut, and she was refusing to drink wine because of her state of mind, her feelings, her emotions at that time. We know that in the time of the Mishnah for sure, and even in the earlier times of the Gemara, that they drank wine to alleviate some of the emotional pain and the difficulties of going through avelut, and that it was used, nu yayin lemari nefesh. You give wine to those that are of bitter spirit, those that are despondent, you give them wine. So over here, she doesn't want to drink wine. She is so involved or captured by her emotional state and her avelut that she doesn't want to drink wine, and they're pushing her to drink wine to relieve herself of that pain, and she doesn't want to do it. Obviously, his reading of the Mishnah using shikula rather than shikura has different implications, and the halacha, the way that he formulates it in the Mishnah Torah, is based on his girsa of shikula versus the shikura. If she was completely drunk, the way that the Gemara Torah says kishikuro shalot, if it's so shikur like lot, then whatever you say has no meaning or bearing whatsoever. Then there's no meaning to what you said over there, then there wouldn't even be a question as to what the meaning is. The fact that the Mishnah is debating whether she should be a nazira or she just simply made an itzur neder gagabe the wine already means that she had the capacity to take a neder that was meaningful in that case. Now, the Gemara says, ma'aseh listor. How could it be that we're bringing a case to undermine the original halacha brought in the Mishnah? And we saw that earlier, that Tosafot and the Rosh both mentioned that in general, when it comes to a ma'aseh that's brought in a Mishnah, we assume that you bring halacha the ma'aseh to support the halacha that's brought in the Mishnah. You wouldn't bring halacha in the Mishnah and then bring a case that says just the opposite. That doesn't make sense. Now, if you have two opinions in the Mishnah, you can talk about the case supporting one of the opinions. But over here, we have one halacha. which is Mazgulo et Akosh, or any Nazir man, or is there Nazir? Maseh. Then you go into a Maseh where we came to the opposite conclusion, which is that you're not a Nazir, but rather you're only a Surmina Yayin. So Amart Reisha Areze Nazir, Vahadar Tani Maseh Bishachat. You start out the Mishnah saying that the individual is a Nazir, and then you bring this incident with the woman that comes to the opposite conclusion. Alma, Vahai Duda Asur, Hayen Achrina Shari. That she's only restricted in this cup or this wine. Anything else, she'd be muteret. She's not a nazira. Chasurei mechzera. Obviously, the Mishnah is missing words. Now over here, you're forced to say chasurei mechzera. And that's what we saw in Tosafot yesterday, that we apply chasurei mechzera where it's muchach, where it's obvious that there are words missing. The transition between the halacha in the beginning of the Mishnah and the case law that was brought afterwards show you that there's something missing in the Mishnah. It's obvious. You can intuit from that there's something missing from the Mishnah because the case law does not support the first halacha, which means that there was an intervening halacha that should have been there, and that is this, v'achiktani, mazgulo atakos, v'amar eni nazir mimenu, or is it nazir? V'im shikur hu, if he's shikur, or obviously if the Rambam over here would say im shikul hu, v'amar eni nazir mimenu, eno nazir, my taima, what's the reasoning? Command amar hare alai kurbanu. It's the equivalent as if someone says that Arei Alai Korban, V'chiteima, if you want to say, Leimahachi, let him just say that explicitly. Why is he using this convoluted construction of Hareini Nazir Mimenu? Just let him say, Arei Alai Korban, and that would solve your problem. Savar Maitinanli Achrino Mitzaranli. What they're going to do is, I took an Easter Neder, the Gabe, this cup of wine, so they'll say, no problem, we'll bring you a different cup of wine. And now he's going to be back to square one. So how does he scare them off here? How does he keep them away? He's going to give them a definitive statement that will keep them away, which is, I am a Nazir. So it doesn't matter if you bring me a different cup. It doesn't matter what you do at this point, because I'm out from Yayin. I'm totally precluded from engaging in Yayin. Now he really only intends to not drink from this cup of wine. He doesn't intend to become a Nazir. He uses this construction because if he uses the normal construction, they're just going to take this cup away and bring him a different cup. So in order to be preventative, to take a preventative stance, he says, listen, I mean, in Azir, don't bother bringing me another cup of wine. Whatever you do, I'm restricted now. And then the Mishnah gives the example, Masen Nami Bishachat, that gives an example or case law that corroborates that understanding of the Mishnah. What Tosafot points out over here is that in the case where you're not drunk, and you say, Hareini Nazir Mimenu, we do not interpret your statement to mean that I am Asur in this cup. Even though you could have easily interpreted the line to be, Hareini Nazir Mimenu, means that I want to restrict myself. I'm using Nazir as the Hatpasa to get to the Isur Nether on this specific cup, and not to make myself into a Nazir. Nevertheless, the Mishnah says, if you're not under pressure, you're not a shikor, and as Tosafot says here, it was a common practice that when someone's drunk, they used to try to ply them with more alcohol. Therefore, in that context, taking the neder nezirut makes sense because they're going to continue to ply him with alcohol. And therefore, we deem or interpret the wording to be that he really wants it to be osur b'yayin, but not to really become a nazir. On the other hand, if he says it out of that context, just in a normal context, we will not assume that the word nazir is used in order to generate an isur. And we mentioned this in the past, that you could use the word nazir to generate a neder, but it's not the normal way to formulate an isur. There are easier ways or better ways to formulate isur, which is like hare alai korban. That would be the normal way to do that. If you are in a difficult context, then we'll reinterpret it as being, yes, you all you want to take was a neder. But if you're not under that duress, we're going to assume that hareini nazir means nazir. There's no reason to think otherwise, and it's not the common way to formulate a neder, therefore we will not assume that it is that interpretation. Like we said with the Rosh in the Darim, when a person comes and says, oh, I didn't mean that, I meant this, you have to look at the reasonableness of the neder. In a case where he's not under duress, the reasonability of him taking such a neder to make it a sur and using the word nazir is very unlikely. We don't accept that interpretation. In a context of pressure and duress, they're trying to force them to drink more alcohol. And he knows if he just makes it a surba now, they're just going to bring him another cup. Over there, we can understand that it's a reasonable assumption that when he said already in a Zirmi manner that he meant to make it an Easter Neder and not into a Isur Nizirut. And that's why you come out with the different outcomes depending on the context. Next Mishnah is, Harini Nazir, Almanat, She'esh Shotei Yain, Umitamei Lemeitim. Says, I want to be a Nazir, but only one condition, I can drink wine. Or, I want to be a Nazir, and I just want to be able to be Mitamei Lemeit. So I want to eliminate one of the factors that is important to the Nazirut. Harese Nazir, Basur Bikulan. This individual is a Nazir, and he is Asur in all of them, similar to the Shita of the Rabbonon. The Rabbonon who said before, if you accept upon yourself one of the aspects of a Nazir, then you become a full-fledged Nazir. So let's assume maybe even you're successful at doing this with the condition embedded, and the condition eliminates this item. But nevertheless, you're still restricted in other items of Nazirut. What the Chachamim say is once you've accepted a portion of Nazirut, you become a full Nazir. Over here, as Tosafot points out, we're going to see this in the Gemara, even Rabbi Shimon will agree, because they have a Braita that supports the Amora that suggests that Rabbi Shimon would agree even in this case. Yodani Shiesh Nizirut. The individual talking about Nizirut, he says, I know there's a concept of Nizirut. Aveini Yodaya Shah Nizir Asur B'Yayin. I don't know that a Nazir is Asur B'Yayin. Harizeh Asur, according to the Chachamim. It's too bad. You accepted upon yourself a Neder Nizirut. Even if you accept upon yourself for a portion of the items, then you become a full-fledged Nazir. So even though he didn't know that the Yayin was Asur, he might have known you can't cut your hair, he might have known that you can't be Mitameh the Meitim. He accepted one of those items, now he's bound for the entirety of the Nazirut. Rabbi Shimon Matir. Rabbi Shimon the Shitato, who says when you accept one item, you do not accept the entire Nizirut, it doesn't work. Ad shi yikabel et kulan. And therefore, since he excluded or precluded from his Nizirut here, the Yayin, he is not a Nazir. Yodea Nisha Nazir Asur B'Yayin. I know that a Nazir is a Asur B'Yayin. Aval Savur Ha'iti. I thought, Chachamim Matirim Li. Chachamim would give me a dispensation. B'Pnei She'eni Yachol Lachyot El B'Yayin. I can't live without wine. It's so necessary for me. I knew that the Chachamim would definitely give me a dispensation to drink wine, despite the fact that a normal Nazir is not allowed to drink wine. Oh, B'Pnei She'eni Koveret HaMeitim. I'm an undertaker, a grave digger. I'm involved with Meitim, that's my profession. So I know that a Nazir cannot be Mitameh the Meitim, but I assume the Chachamim would give me a dispensation because this is my Parnosah. Harizeh Mutar. According to the Chachamim, this individual is Mutar. He's not a Nazir at all, according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Shimon Oser. And over here, Rabbi Shimon says, you are Asur. Right? This is the Hefech of their Shitot. Now, the reason that it's going to be the Hefech of their Shitot, we'll get to in the Gemara a little bit, but over here, the Nizirut was accepted. He accepted a Neder Nizirut. Then, he's trying to now back out or eliminate a portion of the Neder Nizirut. So he's trying to get a Hatara for a portion of the Nizirut. That question of that Hatara, according to the Chachamim, if you are Matir, only one aspect of the Nizirut, it helps you, and therefore there is no Neder Nizirut over here. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon says that being Matir, a portion of the Neder, is not sufficient. Basically paralleling their Shita with regards to the Kabbalat and Nizirut. By the Kabbalat and Nizirut, the Chachamim say if you are Mikaba one item, makes you into a full-fledged Nazir. Over here too, if you get Hatara for one of the items, that also eliminates the Nizirut in its entirety. Rabbi Shimon, who says you need Ad Shekulan to become a Sur, also requires Kulan, Vahatara, to get out of the Neder Nizirut. That's from a bird's eye view what seems to be their opinions over here. Then the Gemara says, V'liflog Nami Rabbi Shimon Beresha. Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon argue in the first case in the Mishnah, which I know that Tosafot already says that Rabbi Shimon agrees in that first case in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shimon argues in the Chachamim in the latter two cases of the Mishnah, but in the first case, we don't see that Rabbi Shimon says that he is mutar. Even though there, he says, Harei Nazir Menat Shehei Shotei Yayin Mitameh the Meitim. He didn't accept everything, so then why is he a Nazir? So Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Chalok Haya Rabbi Shimon Apereisho. Rabbi Shimon Levi says, Eino Chanami. Rabbi Shimon waited to the second case to say that he argues, but he argues on the first two cases. Ravina Amar Bereisho Lo Polig Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon doesn't argue on the ratio, he agrees, my time, Mishom Davale. This person is making a condition against the Torah. No, anybody who takes a condition or stipulates a condition against the word of the Torah, it fails. Because you can't do that. You can't undermine, or you can't go against the Torah. It's a Gemara in Kiddushin that discusses this. Whether that is completely true, you can never be matneh shema katuv b'Torah, or, according to some of the Tanaim over there, you can be matneh al mashe katuv b'Torah b'divrei mamon. When it comes to monetary matters, you can make a tanai, but when it comes to isurim, you cannot make a tanai. Because monetary matters are simply a social contract or an agreement between parties. When you have an agreement between parties, you can alter the agreement to do as you please, as long as it doesn't go up against an Isur Min HaTorah. So for instance, the Torah lays out 4 Shomrim that one can engage. Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Shoel, Socher. It tells you the laws of each of them. What happens if someone stipulates, I want you to be a Shomer Sachar, but I don't want you to be Patur for Onsin. I want you to be Chayav in that case. So in that, one of the Tanaim believes there, you can make such a Tanai, because there it's an agreement. And we can come to any agreement between us. If there is no particular agreement, then we're governed by the laws of the Torah, what the laws are in that case. But over here, we're dealing with Isur. And since it's an Isur, when you say Almanat, that means that you are trying to make a condition against the Isurim that the Torah lay out for a Nazir. And that you can't do. And therefore, Rabbi Shimon agrees over here that it fails. Because you basically establish a Nazirut, and then you try to condition or qualify that statement with a condition. You can't do that. You can't try to eliminate what the Torah has already prescribed for that. So now Rabbi Shimon b'Levi Amar Lecha, Hay Almanat k'chutz dami. This Almanat here is different than the Almanat in general. And what he says is that in the Almanat in general is what you premise or condition your nether based on something. So Almanat is a condition. Over here, you're really saying chutz, with the exception of. You're not making it into a tnai. You're limiting the scope of the nether. And in doing so, that's why it's not called matneh amashe katuv b'Torah over here. Tanya kavati de Ravina. We have a braita that supports Ravina's position. Amar eini nazir almanat sheishote yaim mutameh lemetim. Harizeh nazir vasur bikulan. Mipnei shu matneh amashe katuv b'Torah. So here, you are a Nazir, and you're Asur in everything. Why? Not because you took a net and its root from something, and therefore it expands, make you into a full Nazir, but rather, because you tried to create a condition against the Torah. And anybody who tries to condition something against the Torah, that tonight is Batel. Now Tosafot and the Mefaresh over here raise issues with this, which is, number one, over here, for instance, we have a case where a person says they create kiddushin. They say, Arayat mikudeshet li, amanat, she'en alai, sher ksut va'ona. I want to have kiddushin. I want to accept from that the obligations that normally come with the kiddushin, which is, sher ksut va'ona. Again, there's a discussion whether that's isur or mamon. Assuming that's isur, the Gemara says it doesn't work. You can't do that. So they both ask, why not? Why don't we say this the same as saying chutz over here? With the exception of. Why don't you say, instead of condition or being a tnai, let us just say it means with the exception of chutz. So the way that the Mefaresh answers it is over there when he says, Almanat, shein alai, sher ksut vona, you've left nothing in kiddushin. Then what is the structure of kiddushin? You basically say, I want to establish kiddushin, but then I don't want sher, I don't want ksut, and I don't want ona. I don't want anything that kiddushin brings with the obligations. So in the end, what did you do? What did you generate if you generated no obligations whatsoever? So that's why the Mefresh says over there it's different. Over here he's only trying to eliminate some of the particulars of the Nizirut, and therefore you can interpret Almanat to be Bechutz. But versus over there, where you're eliminating everything, you can't interpret it to be Chutz. The Tosafot disagrees, and for obvious reasons, which is, according to the way the Mefresh is explaining it over here, if he said, Ariat Mekudesh Ali, Almanat, Shein Alai, She'er, or ain't a lie, ksut, or ain't a lie, ona, just one of them, then according to the Mefaresh, that would work, and it would be considered like chutz, but we know that that doesn't work. So why not? So that's what the Tosafot here gives, an alternate answer. Yishamar de gavi kiddushim shiny, dafil amar beferush, chutz mishe'er, lomhanya le dibro, dein kiddushin lechatzayin. So the way that Tosafot formulates it is that kiddushin is a package. The institution of Kiddushin doesn't come in half ways. It's either you are or you're not. You're married or you're not married. You can't have this business where you have kiddushin without the particulars of kiddushin, because then it's no longer kiddushin. On the other hand, nizirut is constructed from basically three, the way that Rabbi Shimon views it clearly, but maybe the Chachamim also agree, it's really constructed of three different nidarim that are subsumed under nizirut, which is a neder that restricts you in wine or grape products. There's a neder that restricts you in cutting your hair. And there's a neder that it restricts you in being mitameh lemeitim. And we know already, like you've mentioned before, Nazir Shimshon can exist even though you can be mitameh lemeitim. So we see that conceptually nizirut can be broken down into its component parts. And therefore over here, the chutz means that you can eliminate or you can take out pieces of it and it's still called a nazir. Right, so therefore, the Balei Tosafot explain over here, that's why we don't consider it to be chutz by kiddushin, whereas over here we have chutz. You have to look at the package that you're looking at. Does that package break down into component parts where you can take out some and still have, quote unquote, the package together? Or is an institution that's only in this form and you can't have a portion of it? And that's what he differentiates between kiddushin and nizirut. But here we have a braita that supports Ravina, and therefore Tosafot said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shimon does not disagree with the Reisha case, because the Reisha case is a case where he's trying to create a Tanai, because he used the Lashon of Almanat, and therefore, it doesn't work. You can't make a Tanai out of Kashu Ketubah Torah. Tosafot over here asks a question, which is a question that we've dealt with a number of times, that Tosafot brings up many times when Tanai comes up in the Mishnayot or in the Gemara, which is that the Gemara basically stipulates that Tanaim only work when they match the Tanai of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. And there are a number of requirements to have a Tanai of Bnei Gad Meirin. It has to be a Tanai Kaful. That's number one. Number two, it has to be the Maaseh before the Tanai. Number three, it has to be able to be done by the Shliach. You could have a proxy do it on your behalf. Like in the case of Bnei Gad Meirin, that Yoshua is going to carry out the Tanai of Moshe. And so Tosafot asks over here, Nizirut is one of those items that you can't throw a shliach. You can't have someone be your nazir, be your nazir on your behalf. This is an obligation on the individual that you can't pass on to someone else, and you can't do it through a proxy. It says that, typically, the nizirut, you have shadar kaim, are you the shliach? Why don't you just say that the tznai fails here? Not because he's matna mashu katub b'torah, but it inherently fails because the tznai does not conform to the protocol of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, which is that it cannot be done ayudei shliach. So he answers, very difficult answer, he says, Ve'eshlamar, Chorei she'acherim yochol avid korbanot tachtav. Since other people can bring the korbanot on his behalf, nechshav kilu kol ha'maseh yochol asot ayudei shliach. That is it, the whole thing can do by shliach. That's a very difficult answer, because you are taking a component part of Nizirut and saying, oh, that could be done ayudei shliach, therefore, now you're allowed to use a tanai in this case. Seems difficult, as you can see, Rabbi Akiva Eiger already notes that it tells you to look in other places where that's not the case. So that's the way Tosafot deals with this issue, and then he works based on the Gemara and the Menachot, tries to solve it. Others say that when we say that you require the trappings of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain, it's only in a case where the tanai is a tanai b'maaseh. It's a condition on executing something befo'al, that's something you're actively going to execute. So over there, you need it to be done al yidei shliach, or the possibility of it being done al yidei shliach. On the other hand, when it comes to dibur, where the whole item is dibur, not only is the condition dibur, but even the requirement of what you're doing is dibur, in that case, it's not relevant to bring up the protocols of Bnei Gad and Bnei Ruvain. Because maybe I would have deal with a maaseh, an action, and then a condition that tells you how the action's going to play out. Either you go in front of the nation and you conquer them, and then you'll get what you want over here. If not, then you'll get, or you'll inherit over there. So there's an action, and there is a condition to that action. Over here, it's all about dibur. It's all about speaking. You accept on yourself a neder nizirut, and then you create a tanai, a condition that I don't want to have wine, or I don't want to be mitameh lemeitim. In that instance, we don't have the requirement of Bnei Gad Ruvain, because it's simply words. It's articulation. Over there, we don't have this necessity for a shliach to be part of the case. The Ramban over here explains that tanai here is not subject to the requirements of Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain is because the only time that we have that requirement is when there are two parties involved in Tanai. In that case, you need all of the trappings of the Tanai B'nai Gad B'nai Ruvain. But in a case where it's you and yourself, over there we don't have all of those requirements. And that's also why over here we don't require that the Tanai be after the Maaseh. But it can be any way that you want, because it's only between you and Hashem, it's not between you and other parties. The demand for the Tanai B'nai Gad Ruvain is only when it involves other parties or other individuals that are going to be affected by the Tanai. But over here, where it's solely you, there we don't have all these requirements. And that's why the need for Shaliach over here does not ruin the Tanai, but rather it's a problem because he's Maneh HaMasha Katuv B'Torah. Right now, the Gemara continues and says, I know that a Nazir is a Sur B'Yayin, but yet, Aval Savoriti, I thought the Chachamim would Matir. V'amart Reisha Asur, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So, we saw in the Reisha that the Chachamim think that you are a Nazir, and Rabbi Shimon thinks you're not a Nazir. And over here, their positions get reversed in this last case of the Mishnah. Eimanami. So the one way to deal with it, the Gemara creates an emendation to the Mishnah and says, say at the end of the Mishnah, Harei Zeh Asur, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Ein Ochanami will keep their positions consistent and will amend the Mishnah to have their opinions be consistent throughout the Mishnah. V'ivai Teima, Lo'olam Lo Tipoch. Do not reverse their positions in that last case of the Mishnah. Hotom, over there, Reisha, Kigon the Nazar Michado. Over there, he took a Neder Zirut from one of the items. According to them, it says that when you only take a neder zirut from one item, asur in the whole thing. So, avi nazir, v'asur. Therefore, he is an azir and asur. L'Rabbi Shimon d'omer, as yazir mikulam mutar. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon says, until you're mazir from all of them, then you're mutar, because you didn't take on all of the items. Seifa, did not dar mikulu. In the Seifa, he first engaged in the Neder Nizirut. He accepted the Neder Nizirut. The Itshio Mechada. Now he's trying to back out of one of them. The Rabbanan Dami Afilu Nazar LaMechad Mehem Avi Nazir. According to Rabbanan, who say when you take a Neder Nizirut that only restricts you in one item, then you become a Nazir. Ki Mitshio Mechada Minayu Ishtare. So too in the reverse. When you get Hatarat Nidareen for one of the items, that unwinds the entire Neder. The Rabbi Shimon Damar Ashi Azir Mikulam. Rabbi Shimon says that you're not a Nazir until you accept upon yourself all the Yisurim of a Nazir. Ki Mitchil Nami, so too in Hatara, Mitchil Nami Mihau Adim Achil Mikulu. So therefore, you would also have to be in the Hatarat, Neder Nizirut. You'd have to eliminate all of them in order to engage. Mishom Ochik Tani. Rabbi Shimon Oser. And that's why Rabbi Shimon says that it's Asur. Now there are different ways to formulate this. The easiest way to formulate it would be to say that this machloket conforms to another machloket that we saw earlier, which is Rabbi Akiva's position with regards to Atarat Nedarim, which is that if you're Matir Miksat HaNeder, does that unwind the entirety of the Neder? So if you're Matir, or you get Atarat Nedarim for a portion of a Neder, does the remainder of the Neder stay in place? Or, Nedesh Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo, which is the principle that Rabbi Kiva gave us in the Mishnayot in Nidarim. So over here too, the Chachamim believe that Nedesh Hutar Miksato, Hutar Kulo. So as long as you get a portion of the Neder eliminated, it eliminates the entirety of the Neder. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to that position. And therefore, he believes, even if you're Matir Miksato Neder, it doesn't help you. And you remain in Azir because the remainder of the Zirut is still in place, and therefore the Neder is not eliminated through the Hatarah of a specific portion of the Neder. That would be the simplest way to explain it. The Rosh over here avoids explaining it that way. Many of the Rishonim do because they don't want to relegate Rabbi Shimon's position to a non-halachic stance, which is that Neder Shutar Miksato is not Shutar Kulo, because that's what you would have to say within the position of Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, most of the Rishonim explain over here that it has to do with the nature or the view that they have about Nidrei Nizirut. What it seems is that Rabbi Shimon believes that the Neder Nizirut is comprised of three component Nidarim. Neder with regards to Yayin, Neder regards to Tumah, Neder regards to Tiglachat. Therefore, when you take on a Neder Nizirut with one of them, you haven't become a Nazir because you haven't accepted all of the component parts of Nizirut, which basically build to make you into Nazir. Whereas the Chachamim view Nizirut as a single package. And as long as you engage in a portion of the package, you get the whole package. Now, in the reverse, when you're being Matir the Neder, then it will work in the reverse. The Chachamim who say that there's only one package called Nizirut, if you're Matir a portion of it, you're basically been Matir the Nizirut, because it doesn't come in component parts. It only comes as a whole package. So you're either in or you're out. So when you put yourself in a portion of it, you're in entirely because it's one package. When you're out, if you only eliminate a portion of it, you're also out entirely because it's one package. According to Rabbi Shimon, who looks at it as discrete components, which is there are three different nidarim that comprise the neder nizirut, therefore, to engage in being a nazir, you have to accept all the yisurim. Now, if you say harei nazir, that automatically engages you in all three of the yisurim, and you don't have to say any more. But if you specify, that's not enough. You're not a nazir anymore because you simply indicated one portion of nizirut. You have to accept each component part separately. And the same will be true in the reverse. If you get a hatara for one of the pieces of nizirut, that doesn't mean that nizirut has fallen apart. Because you established nizirut, but each component part is an independent neder. It's an independent neder. If you only eliminate that one piece, the remaining pillars stay in place. So the remaining nizirut stays in place, and you haven't eliminated the fact that you are a nazir. So that's the other way to explain their position over here as to why Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim would have such a view, despite the fact that they're not arguing about whether neder shehutar miksato hutar kulo. Everybody would agree to that. The question is, are you being matir miksat here or not? According to Chachamim, you are matir miksat. According to Rabbi Shimon, you're not matir miksat because the neder is comprised of three different independent component parts or discrete parts. And therefore, if you eliminate one of them, you haven't eliminated all of them. The question you would have to ask, according to Rabbi Shimon, is in that case, does the hatara work for that component part that you eliminated? And are you mutar in the item that you got the hatara for? Or do we say what ends up happening is you try to get hatara for that, so you get, you're successful getting hatara for that item, but then you're still under the umbrella of Nizirut, and being under the umbrella of Nizirut automatically makes you asur again, and therefore the hatara is not successful. So that's a question in Rabbi Shimon Shita, which way you would view it. Do you view it that you've eliminated that item, or do you view it that he just didn't get out of the Nizirut at all, and he remains a complete Nazir? The Rosh formulates it that the requirement for Charata, according to the Rabbanon, you became mitcharet on one item is sufficient grounds for unwinding the nether, whereas Rabbi Shimon requires you to be mitcharet on all the components of the nether in order to unwind it. Or Tosafot here brings that there's some sort of parallel between the entering into Nizirut and the exiting of Nizirut that creates this parallel. I tried to give a reason as to why, but that's clearly what Tosafot says the sheet of Rabbi Shimon is over here. So now the Gemara says, V'ibayitema b'nidre onsin kamiflege. We're arguing within Nidre Onsin. This last case here is a case of Onis. Ubiplugta de Shmuel v'Ravasi. And this is parallel to the Machloket of Shmuel and Ravasi, the Tznan. Arba'a Nidarim etiru Chachamim. The Chachamim said that there are four types of Nidarim where you do not require Hatara because they fall apart by themselves. Nidre Ziruzim, the example the Mishnah gave over there was in a negotiation where the person takes a neder that he won't go above this price or neder he won't go below that price. There he's trying to stimulate a response from the other side, not really intending to take a nether. Nidre Havai, which is there's an exaggeration associated with the nether, and it's clear from that exaggeration they're not intending to take on the nether. Nidre Shkagot, a nether that is taken by mistake or under a mistaken premise. The Nidre Onsin is a case where, under duress, you then fail to keep the nether. Now, by Nidre Onsin, if you remember, we saw there were different types of Onsin. There could be Nidre Onsin, which is you're under duress to take the neder, which in the case, for instance, there are marauders in the house, and you take a neder that says that these are hekdesh, or that these are trumas, so that they don't steal them. In that case, it's Nidre Onsin because you're under duress from the parties that are trying to rob you at that time. Nidre Onsin can also be manifest in a case where you took the neder, and then the onus came up afterwards, which is now something happened, some sort of event took place which prevents you from keeping the nether, but it's out of your control. And therefore you're patur, onus rachmana patre, because you didn't have the ability to do this, but because of items or things that were out of your control. So now, over here, what exactly is the parallel case? Now you could argue that the case is parallel to the case of onus afterwards, which is, you took a neder, and then afterwards you can't stay by the nether. You can't keep the nether because something happened that was out of your control or puts you under duress to the point where you need to abrogate the nether. So you could argue, and that's the way the Mefarash says it over here, and the Mishnah seems to formulate it that way, which is, it says, I can't live without wine. I can't, as the Mefarash says over here, I can't live without burying the dead or becoming tamei, because that's my profession. That's how I make my parnosa. And if I eliminate this, I'm not going to have any parnosa. Or the Mefarash notes that maybe he's the only guy in town that can do this, and therefore they need him to do this work. So then, it would be a case where there is some sort of duress that causes him to violate the nether. The problem is that over here, it's a little different. In the case of the Mishnah Nedarim, the onus, the problem came up after the fact. You took the nether, and then the item out of your control makes its appearance, which prevents you from doing the nether. Over here, all the information is known up front. The guy's a grave digger before he takes the nether, and the guy loves wine before he takes the nether. What type of onus is that in this case? So what you could argue is that he thought he could handle it, and then in the end he can't handle it, and that's what the onus is. Or you can see here in the Rosh and the Balei Tosafot that they both suggest over here that the case was a case where the onus only appeared after the fact. And that at the time he took the nether, it wasn't an issue. For instance, he was wealthy, and he thought that he wouldn't have to do with his job anymore. He had made enough money, he had saved up enough money, and now he doesn't have to do this grave digging anymore. That's why he takes the nether. Then all of a sudden he falls on bad times, or he spends all of his money, and now he's in a position where he needs to go back to work. And therefore the onus only comes up after the fact. Or the person was healthy when he took the nether. Now all of a sudden he fell on bad health. He's ill, and he needs the wine to strengthen it or to help him out. And that was something, again, where the onus only happened after the fact. To both the Rosh and the Tosafot, try to adjust the case here to parallel or to match the case in the Nedarim that the onus was after the fact. The other possibility about explaining this is that the Rosh brings down Piv Velibo Enam Shavim. That what he's articulating and what he's thinking do not match over here. He is articulating a Neder Nizirut, which includes all these Isurim. In his heart, he's saying, I don't want this nether because I need this out or I need this exclusion from the nether. And therefore, the reason that the nether fails over here is nidre onsin, but it's not nidre onsin in the classic sense of under duress, but rather your heart and your articulation are different. Like the case of the marauders. Over there, you're taking the nether, you're articulating, but it's clear in your heart that that's not what you want. You're just using it as a vehicle to scare away the marauders. So that's a case of onus where we say, Piv Libo Enam Shavim. And similarly over here, the Rosh says, maybe that's the explanation over here, that Piv Libo Enam Shavim. The Rambam, on the other hand, and it seemingly must have had a different gears than our Gemara, says that this is the equivalent of Nidre Shkagot. Not Nidre Onsin, but rather Nidre Shkagot, which is Nidre Shkagot, where you take the nether on a mistaken premise. You take the nether, and we find out that the nether was either misinformed, didn't need to be taken, or you didn't understand the ramifications of the nether. Over here, it seems that that's really what's happening. Nidre Shkagot is that he thinks he can take this nether in his root and exclude these items and get these dispensations. What we find out is that that's not the case. Well, if that's not the case, the nether wasn't chal. Now, it's not as easy to say that in the Mishnah, because the way that it seems to be formulated in the Gemara here is that itchil. He took the nether, and now he's trying to get a petach, he's trying to get unwound from the nether. But, nevertheless, from the Rambam, that's what it sounds like, that he thinks this is nidre shkagot. And the failure here is not because you're under duress, but simply, there's a mistaken premise in the nether. And when you took the nether, it was done under the wrong assumptions. And therefore, it's batel, because you took a nether that doesn't work. You took a nizirut, which cannot become effective. And that's why it fails over here, because it's nidre Shkagot. Then the Gemara says over here, Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Asi, Arba Nidarim Alalu Tzrichim Sheila Chachamim. They require a Torat Nidarim. Ki Amrita Kamei De Shmuel, that when we say this in front of Shmuel, Amali Tana Ketani Tiru Chachamim. The Tana said that the Chachamim say these are Mutarim, Va'amar Tzrichim Sheila Chachamim, and you think that you need a Torat Nidarim. The Mishnayot say they're Mutar. So, mutar means mutar. It doesn't mean mutar after I get she'elat chacham. It means that they're mutar. The Rabbanan savrei kishmuel. The Rabbanan hold like Shmuel, that you do not require any hatarat nidarim over here. They're automatically, it is mutar. But then Rabbi Shimon Kravasi. Rabbi Shimon holds like Kravasi that you need hatarat hacham in order to unwind it. So over here, where he articulates up front what he thinks the nazirat is it automatically unwound? Whether it's nidre onsin or nidre shkagol, does it now automatically unwind? According to Shmuel, that's what it means. Hetiru chachamim means you need no hatarat nether. You're done because of the way you articulated the nether. It's over. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda named Rav Asi says that you still need shelat chacham. Over there we discuss why. Possibly because we don't want people being mekel rosham, the gabay nidarim. Because if people think they take a nether and then they just get out of it, first of all, they'll take more nidarim. Number two is they'll use this or utilize it even in cases where that's not the case. And that would be a dangerous precedent. So we tell them to go get atarat chachamim, midrabanan, because we don't want the ramifications. But then what they're doing is paralleling the machloket in our mission in that way. Because our mission now, we're assuming that the neder is a nidre onsin or nidre shkagot. And now, do you have to get atarat chacham or not? The chamim say no. So you're mutar. That's what they mean. Chamim matir. You're mutar legamre. Rabbi Shimon says you're asur because you have yet to get atarat nidarim. Once you get atarat nidarim, then you'll be fine. And that'll be the nature of their machloket over here. Okay, next mishnah. Areini nazir. Valai legaleach nazir. I am a nazir, but in addition to that, I will sponsor another nazir. So this is like, you know, today where people, it's very nice idea that people do, where they make a wedding and they sponsor a wedding. They make a bar mitzvah, they also sponsor a bar mitzvah. Meaning that they not only celebrate themselves, but they enable someone else who's less fortunate to celebrate. So it does something like this, that this individual says, I'm going to be a nazir, and I'll also sponsor someone else to be a nazir. I'll pay for them to be a nazir. V'shama chaviro, his friend here is v'amar, v'ani, me too, v'alai l'galeach nazir. And I also will sponsor someone as a nazir. Im ayu pichim, if these guys are smart, b'gachim zedzeh, they will take care of each other. Meaning that each one of them will bring their neder nizirut, and they will not, in the end, pay for it, they'll have their friend sponsor their nizirut. So by cross-sponsoring, they take care of their neder, and they don't have to basically pay for animals twice. Because in paying for their friend, they also cover their nizirut. So by doing that, they end up saving money because they're cross-sponsoring each other. V'im lav, if they don't do this, migalchim nizirim acherim. Then they have to pay for their own nizirut, and they have to sponsor someone else, they have to pay for two sets of korbanot. Now, when we say over here, pichim, it doesn't mean if they are wily, if they are sly, they're going to do this and work it out this way. Wow. This is something that we would even give them advice to do. I mean, there's nothing wrong with what they're doing, and we would advise them as such. And the chiddush is that even though the second guy took his nether after the first guy, when the first guy engaged his nether, he says, I am a nazir, and I'm sponsoring someone else. The other guy was not a nazir yet. And yet what we're saying is they have the ability, once the second guy enters into the nazirut, he can still sponsor the second guy, even though the second guy was not a nazir when he took his neder. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that you can sponsor someone else's korbanot, even though they were not a nazir at the time when you took your neder, obligating you to sponsor someone as a nazir. Ibailu, shama chaveiro v'amar vani mahu. Our Mishnah says that the person who heard it says, me too, ve'alai legaleach nazir. And I also will sponsor. What happens if you just use the Lashon Va'ani and I? Mahu. Va'ani akule dibura mashma. Does the word ani mean the guy made two statements? He made one statement, I am a nazir. Second statement, I'm sponsoring a nazir. When the second individual says Va'ani, me too, does the me too capture everything he said before? Or Dilma apalge di dibura mashma? Or does the ani only capture a portion of what he said? Imtim solomar, if you want to say apalge di dibura mashma, even if you want to say it only captures a portion of what the previous person said, Areshua Seifa. Which part of his statement? Do you take the first part or the latter part when he's affirming that he wants to be the same? Which is he being the same about? Is he being the same about being a Nazir? Or is he being the same about sponsoring a Nazir? Tashma, our Mishnah. Vani v'alai legaleach Nazir. It says there, me too, and I also will sponsor a Nazir. Imayu pichim echim zeh. Midekamar vani v'alai. Shmamina vani apalge di dibura. First of all, the fact that he has to over here say vani, and then va'alai Legaleach Nazir shows you that Ani is not successful at covering the entirety of the individual statement, only a portion of that statement. So Amrayin, Apagadi Dibura Mashma. Okay, we agree. It only applies to half. Miwa Reisha Wasefa. Does it apply to the first half of the statement or the second half of the statement? The Mar says, Mina, we can learn from that also. Midikamar Balai Legaleach. When you say me too, it means only to capture the first part of his statement, which is Hareni Nazir, Valaila Galeach Nazir. When he says Vani, he's only affirming or accepting upon himself the first part of that individual statement, which means I will also be a Nazir. Then separately, he has to then also engage or accept that he will bring Korbanot or sponsor someone's Korbanot for the Nazir. And that's why he says Vani. And then he makes another term, Valai Legaleach Nazir, and he also accepts on front himself that. Samarlei Ravuna Breid Rav Yeshua L'Rova, Mimai, Dohachi. Well, how do you know that's the right interpretation of the Mishnah? The Olam Emelecha, Vani Yakulei Dibura. I would say that the Ani covers everything the previous guy said. When he says Vani, it means me too means Nazir and sponsoring Korbanot. V'imishum Valai, then why does he add in this extra lashon of Valai? My Kamar, Valai Bahai Milta. He says, me too, in this whole thing. If you don't say that, diktoni seifa. The next part of the Mishnah that says, Harei alai legaleach chatzi nazir. I'm going to sponsor half a nazir. V'shamach habiro v'mer v'ani alai legaleach chatzi nazir. Me too, I'm going to sponsor half a nazir. Hota mi'ika tartein milin. Over there, there's no two items to accept. And yet, he's adding on at the end the same formulation. He says, Vani. Ani should have been insufficient to accept whatever the first guy said. He only made one statement. I'm going to take care of half a Nazir. And he goes, Vani. That should be the end of it. Then why does he add on after that? Valai, legaleach chatzi Nazir. Why does he add on the additional information? He doesn't need that at all. So what do you see? It's completely unnecessary. That second statement is not necessary at all. And just like in the latter half of the Mishnah, that second statement is meaningless. The first part of the Mishnah is also meaningless. And therefore, the alai is extraneous language. Extraneous language that is simply explaining or explicating on what the ani means. It says vani means that I'm accepting whatever this guy did. And just let me be clear. When I say vani, I mean both that I'm a nazir and I'm sponsoring a nazir. Not that that was necessary for him to do it, but he's just giving more detail about what he meant. But not that there's a separate obligation that he's creating, and the ani only captures the first half of the statement. So Mar says, Ela mai kamar alai. What does it mean by alai? Baha milto. I'm explaining to you, I want to be everything that he said. Hachinami ki kamar alai baha milto. That means alai means I want to be exactly like he is, and therefore we will not ascribe any value to that second statement. The ani captures everything. The alai is completely unnecessary. He's only doing it to be clearer about what he's saying. Amalei Rava, Hochi Ashto. Rava says, I don't agree with your explanation of the Mishnah. If you say in the first half of the Mishnah, our case here and our Mishnah here, that the alai is necessary to accept the second part of the nether, seifa lo tzricha. The seifa, you're right, you don't need it there because you only made one statement, and when you say vani, it clearly captures it. Tzani seifa. It's just a parallel structure in the Mishnah. So I wrote the case in the Seifa, even though it's not necessary, because in the Reisha, it also wrote that case, but in the Reisha it was necessary. Because in the Reisha there are two items. Vani only captures the first of the items. The Alai is necessary to capture the second item. In the Seifa there was only one item. Ani would suffice. The Alai is extraneous. Why did I write the Alai? Because just like in the Reisha I had Alai, so too in the Seifa I wrote Alai. Parallel structure. Ella. Yamart, if we believe like you, Ravuna Brei the Rav Yeshua, that Reisha lo tzricha, that in the Reisha you also don't need to say alai, seifa lo tzricha, and in the seifa you don't need to say alai, tani Reisha de lo tzricha, but tani seifa de lo tzricha, then why did the Mishnah put this language in at all? You don't need it in the first case, you don't need it in the second case, you don't need it at all, then leave it out. If it's not necessary at all, just leave it out. And you could have just said Vani, and that would have worked for the Reisha, that would have worked for the Seifa. You don't need this Valai. So based on that, Rava says, I think you're wrong about that understanding. And I think that in the Reisha, it is Dafka that he says Valai, because Ani does not cover the entirety of the individual statement, only the first half of the statement. The Alai compensates for the second part. In the Sefer, you're right. We don't need that because there's only one statement. But for parallel structure, we do it. On the other hand, according to your explanation, Rabbuna Breda Yeshua, it's not necessary here, not necessary there. Why does the Mishnah put it in at all? Now, you could say that he's just clarifying what the Ani means. Not that that is an obligation, but still, it's not necessary. Why would the Mishnah mention it? Okay, we're going to stop here. Two lines from the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet.